I'm reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and it says the judges ruled, and in that time there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Tells you their names. And but it tells you this, that there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in God's land. There was a famine in Judah. There was a famine in Israel. And this man took his wife and he went and he left God's country and he went, as it were, to where there was plenty. There are many people that have done this during this time of famine. There are many people that have fallen away. Iniquity has abounded, and many have left God, many that's tasted his goodness. But they fell away, they've gone into the world for the food. They've gone into the world for the things of the world. But this beautiful story, and yet a terrible story really, it says this, that they were there 10 years. But it says that Naomi, this was the wife, she lost her husband. And she lost her two sons. The Bible says that when she left God's country, she was full. She didn't lack anything at all. I went out full. I've often thought that she went because she had to go, because her husband left the country. He went where the food was. He went where the work was. He went after the things of the world. And Naomi is saying, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because Naomi means pleasant, sweet. Mara means bitter. Because she said, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Why would God have dealt bitterly with this family? Because this family had left, as it were, the land of God. Because God had sent a famine, because they were cooled off towards God. God was teaching them a lesson. God wanted them to know what it was like to be without bread, that they might hunger and thirst after the bread of life. That they might know that God was there, that they might cry unto him, that he might give them bread, that he might give them the living bread, that he might give them the water of life. He wanted to hear that cry. But they left God's country. They ran away from God. They didn't want to stay in a land where there was a famine. And Naomi says, Almighty God hath dealt bitterly, very bitterly with me. I went out, she said, full. I got an husband, I got two sons, I was happy. Everything I had, I was wonderfully blessed of God. But she said, the Lord hath brought me home again. The Lord had brought her back, but he brought her back empty. She got no husband, she got no sons, but God had brought her back empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me? It was wrong that they should have left God. It was wrong, and it's wrong that the people should leave the church when things are dry and things are barren, because it's God that is wanting us to see and to know and to understand that we need to cry out to God for this bread that I've said a little while ago that God is going to give us, that God is going to roll away the clouds, as it were, and give us a blessing. He's going to give us bread. We that have been faithful, we that have been fed from the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, we that have been in the fire, we that have suffered trials and tribulations and adversities and calamities and even tragedies, God is going to bless us. God is going to shower his blessings upon us. Brother and sister, you can't feel it now. You can't even see it. But it's like the prophet when he sent his servant out, you look, and you go and look seven times, you begin to see that cloud rolling. You begin to see that it's going to rain. You begin to see that God is going to do this work, because God loves his people. And God's, as it were, moving at this time. God's going to move at this time, because of the time. The hour is late and the time is short. God has got to move for them to blow him. God has got to move for them that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. God has got to move. And the Spirit says it's time that God is moving. And God has got to move for you and me, because Almighty God loves us. He's brought me home empty. You could use the prodigal son if you like. At that point, he went out full, but he came back empty. But look, when he came back, how he appreciated. How he appreciated just being back. And there are many people away from God tonight that if they could just have their eyes opened, if they could just be brought back to the experience, to the church, to the fellowship, as it were, if they could be brought back, their hearts would rejoice, their eyes would be opened, the scales would fall off their eyes, and they begin to praise God, even though they've come back empty. They are back, hallelujah, and God is going to bless them. God is going to bring them back. Oh yes, they're coming back empty. They're coming back seeing their need. But God is going to fill their temple. God is going to fill their vessel. And out of their innermost being, there's going to flow rivers, yea, rivers of life-giving water. So often, we talk about the beautiful scriptures, the beautiful blessings, but we never seek to enjoy them. We get glimpses of tastes. But God says this, that Jesus Christ not only came to give us life, which we're not really experiencing, but he came to give us the abundance of the life of God. Jesus Christ didn't die in vain, and he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It makes you free. And it says, so Naomi returned. Oh, she came with her daughter-in-law, that's true. But it says she returned. And why did she return? She'd heard that God was giving bread, that God was blessing his people.
Understand a young woman talking like this? Maybe she
tasted. She'd seen the change in Naomi when she heard that the word of God had said as it had been carried to Moab that God was moving again in the midst of his people, that God was feeding them, that God was giving them bread. And thy God, my God. And she said this, the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Verse of scripture. I want to tie this with that. It's the Lord speaking. He's speaking the Sermon on the Mount. And he carries on exhorting and teaching till he gets to one particular verse. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We could use that and say that nobody's going to get saved unless their righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. But to me it says this, that except our righteousness exceeds their righteousness, we cannot enjoy the kingdom of God. We cannot enter into it now. We that are Christians, except we begin to live, except we begin to enjoy what I've been trying to say, if we don't get this kind of food that will change us, if we don't get this kind of word that will get to the point and get to the very core of the trouble in our lives that God has sent this famine for, and he's going to take it away, and I'm sure with all my heart that our righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. But up to now, I've seen such hypocrisy in the church. Even tonight, my heart was so touched. In this particular place alone, there are two meetings where God's people are meeting together to worship God, to give him the honor and the glory. We are Christians. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is Lord. He is our master. And yet, they were carrying Bibles, and I was carrying Bibles, but they walked past me. We were strangers. This is not Christianity. But thank God that God is going to move in the hearts and lives of his people, whereby they'll not carry Bibles and walk past one another. They will carry as it will love in their hearts, and they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that outside of him there is nothing, whether it's denomination salt. I look for the salt in my own life. I look for the light in my own life. But he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But what do we find in the church? What do we find among the Christians? They can't agree at all. There's bickerings, there's backbitings, there's roots of bitterness. There's everything but the love of God. There's everything but the fruit of the Spirit. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Can you just get a picture? What I'm trying to say is that this is going to become a reality in the church. People are going to take off the scales. They're going to take off this hypocrisy. They're going to look at one another between the eyes. And when they speak to them, they're going to tell them the truth. There's too many lies. You say Christians don't tell lies. Don't you believe it? Christians will tell a lie when it suits them, but not this kind of Christian that the Bible speaks of. This kind of Christian is no time to lie. He's so busy being fed of the truth. He's so busy giving up the water of life. He's so busy being made like Jesus Christ. God has encouraged me tonight because he said to me, this famine, and there is a famine, oh my God. I've never known a time when people claim so much and show so little. They go around telling people this and that. They can have this if they get saved. They can have that. Transform me and transform the world. Two people passed this door tonight. They asked several questions. They didn't know whether to come in. They were betwixt two, whether to come in or whether to go on. Just a young couple, almost persuaded they were. They asked what was going on, and I said there were two meetings, two Christian meetings. I didn't know which one they'd come to go to. I didn't know, but I didn't care so long as they went to one. But they didn't go to that one or this one. They went by. We laughed. You say, well, why did we laugh? Because we like to give off that fragrance of Christ that draws men and women to Calvary, that draws men and women back to God after they've been away from him. But all thank God for his word and his promise tonight. That these beautiful scriptures that men have quoted with their lips glibly and idly are going to come to pass in your life and in my life. And we're going to be seen for what we are. We're going to know that we are children of God, and we're going to see God move first in our lives. We're going to see God do a work in our lives. This thing that's been bothering you for years, this thing that's been bothering me for years, God is going to break the yoke. God is going to break the chain. God is going to bring you through that tribulation. God is going to bring you out of that fire. God is going to pour rain on your head, and God's going to going to become a reality. The Word of God is going to come alive within us, and it's going to transform us, and it's going to change us. What's the point in you or me telling others about the transforming power of God if it's not transformed me, if I'm not changed? What's the point in me preaching the gospel if I'm not already living the gospel? The Bible says that we've got to be, as it were, doers of the word, partakers of the word, living the life, not just hearing words, not just giving off words, not just babblers, but as it were, priests and kings unto God. I don't know about you, but since I got saved, I've been through many things. But I think the greatest of all these things has been this truth, that God has to work a work within me, and it takes time. And many times when you think the work's done, it has to be started all over again. But oh, thank God that when the Spirit moves and when it opens your eyes, you can see the possibility. You can see that it's possible that God can give you and give me a new heart and a new spirit, whereby we will be, as it were, new creatures. It's all been jargon, it's all been words, but mark my words, it's going to be reality in the lives of them that are hungry, them that have been faithful to God, them that have stayed with God through the famine, as the world is saying, through the thick and the thin. They've stood by God and they've said, I'll trust him, come what may. Mark my words, that God is going to bless you. God is going to bless your soul. They have such things as promise boxes, you know. When you first get saved, they're beautiful. Get a pair of tweezers and you pull out the promises, oh, they're wonderful. But God's got another box, and it's full of conditions. And every promise has a condition. Look for the conditions. I remember preaching about the conditions 13 years ago to one woman. This young woman afterwards said that she'd never realized the conditions. She'd never heard it preached like that before. This woman got delivered. She got saved. She got delivered. She got filled with the power of God. And God showered his gifts upon her. God is going to do this. I'm going to close now the word anyway. I will cause you to pass under the rod. I believe we've been under the rod. I will bring you into the delivering covenant. I believe he's brought us into the delivering covenant. He said, I will purge out from among you the rebels. I believe with all my heart there are sheep and there are goats. And I believe many professing so-called Christians don't live Christian lives. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They know all the scriptures, they seem to know all the answers, but they never live the life. Well, it says here, I will purge out, God will purge out from among you the rebels. That's what he's going to do. And them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourned, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. I just thank God with all my heart. I thank God that there is no rebellious spirit within me against God. There is a spirit that's willing to bend. There is a spirit which is longing to be like Jesus Christ. There is a spirit within me that's willing to do anything for God. Where he leads me, we sing it so often. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he sends me, I will go. What he asks, I will give. I mean that with all my heart. God knows it, and God's my judge. I don't know whether you mean it. I don't know whether you intend to say it, but it's the truth. I'm not a rebel against God. I never intend to rebel against God. I have no intentions. I have every intention of saying, yes, God. Yes. Have your way, Lord. In my life. Through my life. And use my life for your glory. Be encouraged tonight. Because the famine. Maybe you don't know anything about the famine. Maybe you've been saved just a little while and you've really enjoyed the blessing of God. That's wonderful. But when you go on a little, you'll find out that milk's not satisfying when you're growing up. You need a little bit of meat. And there's been a famine of the meat of the Word of God in the land. Oh, you've heard the letter. I've heard the letter. And my, it kills. I've sat and I've listened to the letter and I felt like walking out. And I could understand people walking away from God if that's all that we've got to offer. Just the letter. Just words. Just promises. Just something that as soon as they put it to the test, they find it doesn't work. What good's that? What's the point in going to church if you don't meet God? What's the good of trying to praise him if he doesn't bless your soul? He said, I will comfort you. I will encourage you. I will lead you. I'll guide you. I'll bless you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We use all these scriptures and all this jargon, and yet we don't see the kind of fruit that it brings forth. But thank God, he said tonight, that the famine is going to end. It is done. The clouds are rolling away. The heavens are going to be open. God is going to pour out a blessing on the church. On the church. The church is not the Church of England, the Roman Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church, or any other church. It's them that love Jesus Christ, them that belong to Jesus Christ, them that have the stamp of God upon them, them that love him with every fiber of their being. God is going to pour his spirit upon them in a new way. Not that they'll prophesy. I am not talking about that scripture. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the latter day blessing, what we're going to receive, which we've never received, a new thing, but for one thing and for one purpose is it coming. To prove to you and me that the word of God is yea and amen in Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts. May God encourage you. Maybe you don't know what the famine's like I said. Well then just bless God, because you're never going to know what the famine's like, because he's going to bless and you're going to miss it. Thank God for that. We miss the dark ages. Thank God for that. I bless God that we're living now, because we miss the dark ages. There's probably people living today that as
be so often said, we'll maybe see the Lord come. Who knows? Who knows? No man knoweth, but God knows.